You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Thanks so much for joining us. Whether it's your Sunday night and you're still celebrating Championship Sunday, or whether it's early on your Monday morning, we've already got morning show crews starting to show up here at CBS Sports Radio headquarters. This will be a fun 2 weeks. I'm really looking forward to it. You know me, I'm consistent about this. I like fresh blood. I like different storylines. I appreciate it when we've got something new to talk about. And that's part of being in this business where you live your life on a sports calendar, and it's great to have something different. And this is certainly different. The Chiefs have not been to a Super Bowl in 50 years. The Niners are headed to their 7th Super Bowl, but only their 2nd appearance in 25 years. And they haven't won since the 1994 season over the San Diego Chargers at Joe Robbie Stadium in Miami. For the longest time, I was still calling it that. So Miami has been good to the Niners franchise, but they're also going through a bit of a drought. These are not the Joe Montana, Steve Young 49ers, and they went through quite a rebuilding process, even post Jim Harbaugh. Remember, they went to 3 straight NFC championship games. They got there to the Super Bowl when it was Colin Kaepernick as the starting quarterback. They lost to the Baltimore Ravens, but boy, we got a thrill in the second half. Remember, that was the game in New Orleans where the lights went out. But for the Niners franchise, that now looks nothing like the powerhouse that it was going back to the 80s and 90s. This is also a new era for the franchise and something different for us as sports fans. So Super Bowl 54, the matchup is now set. And we're asking you to fill in the blanks. Or blank. Whichever one. This year's Super Bowl matchup is what? You can find us on Twitter or on Facebook. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. And our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. We will be in Miami for 3 shows next week. But until then, we're at CBS Sports Radio headquarters looking at this matchup as well as the other storylines in sports. I ran into a few of my neighbors over the course of the weekend, and they asked me, so how much time did you spend talking about the Astros last week? Oh, yeah, I would say probably 70% of our shows, even though we ended up, of course, doing a lot of football as we always do in January. The Astros not only getting hammered by Major League Baseball, but then having their manager and general manager fired. The fallout continued with the Red Sox parting ways with their manager, Alex Cora. And finally, the domino that dropped on Thursday was Carlos Beltran. Before he ever managed a game with the Mets, they decided they couldn't continue with him. He was too much of a black mark. He was wearing a scarlet letter. I appreciate those of you who reached out after we interviewed Jeff Blum, who not only is a former Astro, but also a current team employee. A lot of people listened to our conversation, and he was the first that I had heard from, other than Jim Crane, speaking out from the Astros organization. And if you missed that conversation, it's part of our podcast. You can find the link on both Twitter and Facebook. But Jeff was candid. He was honest. He said he expects that these current Astros players should come forward. He thinks that they have to apologize to the fans for tainting what was an incredible World Series run in 2017. Well, for the first time over the weekend at the Astros Winter Festival, it's a festival for fans, both Jose Altuve and Alex Bregman were there live and in color and did in fact do interviews. Hint, spoiler alert, neither one of them apologized. But their interviews were all over social media. And while neither one of them commented on the punishment or the firing of manager AJ Hinch, Jose Altuve at least said, hey, we're not done.
Believe me, in the end of the year, everything will be fine. We're going to be in the World Series again. People don't believe it. We will. You know, we will, like we made it last year. We went one game away.
Believe me, we're going to be there in the end. It's going to be fine. We're going to get back to another World Series. It's coming from Jose Altuve, who's, of course, the MVP in the 2017 season. Again, they really wouldn't say a whole lot, though Altuve was a little more forthcoming than Alex Bregman.
It's a tough situation as a team. We have to stay together and go through this as a team like we've been doing always.
Tough situation? Eh. Maybe he was referring to the loss of their manager, 5 weeks before pitchers and catchers report. And while I don't buy into it, a lot of you were buzzing at the end of last week about the, it's funny that I use that word, that wasn't on purpose, about the allegations that Jose Altuve was using a buzzer, was wearing an electronic buzzer during that whole cheating mess. He was actually wired up. And there was this crazy hypothetical connection. People referring to a video in which he hits this walk-off home run and he's yelling as he comes to home plate, don't tear my jersey off, because that must mean that he was wired. But he says that whole thing is dumb.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. You know, MLB did their investigation. They didn't find anything.
So Jose Altuve says the buzzer allegations are ridiculous. His agent said earlier that not only has Major League Baseball not found anything, and we heard that from baseball, but that Jose Altuve has never worn a wire or anything else that was electronic while he was playing. We got those snippets from Mark Berman on his Twitter, so we appreciate his help. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The Alex Bregman audio is not real good, but he essentially kept deferring and deflecting and said the commissioner's statement and the memo says it all. Okay, then. Not denying it, obviously. The players, they did receive immunity for their full cooperation with the investigators. But I agree with Jeff Blum. They need to apologize. They need to apologize for fans, for duping fans.
I'm sorry.
Thank you, LeBron. LeBron will step in. And for not being authentic, for not being true, for not doing it the right way, and for casting a major shadow over this organization. And I might add, for leading to their manager getting fired. So we have not yet heard from Major League Baseball and the commissioner about the Boston Red Sox. We'll see what happens. But for the Astros, you would think that now they begin the recovery process. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Again, if you want to hear that interview with Jeff Blum, he was very pointed. Emotional, to be sure. He said he was still in the process of working through all of his emotions. But he was so great to be honest and to answer every single one of my questions. Like, did he know? And what happens to the Astros now? And whether or not knowing that it's an off-speed pitch gives you a major advantage, because some of you don't believe it. So again, you can find it on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on my Twitter, and then also on our Facebook page. Now, shifting gears, also over the weekend, unrelated to the AFC and NFC championship games, Jason Garrett got a new job. Jerry Jones was right. He told us that Jason Garrett would be coaching in the NFL come next season. And in fact, he will be doing just that. He's been hired by Joe Judge and the New York Giants to be their offensive coordinator.
We had a great day together. You know, I didn't know Joe real well. Been around him on a couple different occasions and had good conversations with him, really good football conversations. And, you know, he and I know a lot of the same people. I worked for Coach Saban. He worked for Coach Saban. Coach has always said such great things about Joe, and so many other people that he's been around, that I've been around, say the same thing.
Jason Garrett on the Giants in the Huddle podcast. And he was eager to make comments right away. I'm happy for him. I think as much as the Dallas Cowboys needed a fresh start and they're thrilled about their new head coach in Mike McCarthy, Jason Garrett needed something fresh and new as well. I teased a bunch before the Cowboys actually made the announcement, but my hashtag was free Jason Garrett. Let him go do something else. Let him go work in a different capacity. Although it is interesting, right, that he stays in the NFC East. I find that part to be really humorous. Why the Giants, though? That was the question that he was asked right off the top.
Just a first-class organization. And you think about the history and tradition of the New York Giants franchise and what the Maras have built and what the Tishes have built and all the great teams, all the great coaches, all the great players who have been a part of this organization throughout its history. And you know, when you're playing this organization like I was for 4 years, you feel that.
Jason Garrett, the new offensive coordinator who gets to work with none other than Daniel Jones. Interesting to hear what Giants fans think about having Jason Garrett, who again was inside their organization, now jump to their offensive coordinator spot where he was so maligned, even after Kellen Moore took over the play calling. People pinning all the offensive woes. Now, let's just be honest. The Dallas Cowboys had a really good offensive season. That was not the reason why they didn't end up winning the NFC East and getting back to the playoffs. And the stats for Dak and Zeke Elliott don't tell you the whole story. But their offensive numbers were better than a good portion of what we saw from the rest of the NFL. I mean, Dak was over 4,000 yards. Ezekiel Elliott continues to do what it is that he's paid to do. And yet still, a lot of people pointing to Jason Garrett because the offense didn't do enough. Well, now here he is, going to be working with the second-year quarterback in New York in Daniel Jones.
I want to start by saying really what Joe said in his introductory press conference. You know, I have an outsider's perspective on the Giants. Great respect for the organization, great respect for the players on the team that we've competed against. But again, it's coming from the outside. I can't wait to get on the inside and start to work with some of these guys. And, you know, you mentioned Daniel Jones. We thought a lot of him coming out of college. We weren't in the market for a quarterback in the first round the year that he came out. At the same time, you go through that evaluation process and you know, anybody who was around him in our organization with the Cowboys just thought the world of him.
Doesn't Jason Garrett sound excited? I mean, for sure, most of the questions that he's been answering over the past few months have been about his job status and about why the Cowboys were underachieving. But still, he sounds rejuvenated.
Oh, yes.
Like he's really looking forward to this challenge. But dear Lord, what do I tell you all the time? Bonus points if you can tell me quickly what analogy I use to talk about the NFC East. Think about the changes in this division. Even in the starting from the days after the regular season ended. The Redskins hire Ron Rivera, and now they're bringing in this incredible coaching staff, as have the Cowboys. It's like a who's who of coaching with Mike McCarthy. So you've got Rivera and McCarthy, who've both been to Super Bowls. McCarthy, of course, has won. The Giants, who hired Joe Judge, that people had to Google, even in Boston, to know who he was, though he has an incredible coaching pedigree. He brings in the recently, I would say fired, but not really fired, just mutual parting of ways victim with the Dallas Cowboys. And now he's got Jason Garrett as his offensive coordinator.
In my opinion, Jason Garrett will be coaching in the NFL next year.
And the Eagles, who played their way into an NFC East title and deserve credit for that, also have a recent Super Bowl and a Super Bowl winning coach in Doug Peterson. Yep, soap opera. Never a dull moment in the NFC East. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, fill in the blank. The Super Bowl matchup is what? I've gone through a bunch of your Facebook posts. I'll get through some of your tweets as well. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. Oh, by the way, in case you missed it, Tom Brady talking about his future.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
They snap it just in time to avoid a delay of game. Tannehill under pressure. Still moving to his right. Frank Clark chasing. Knocks him down. Tannehill goes down. Shark-infested waters. The Coast Guard gives the reef. Warning. Stay out of the water because Frank Clark the Shark has just given Kansas City its first trip to the Super Bowl in 50 years. Hail to the King of the Chiefs Kingdom forever. Because today, the team that Lamar Hunt founded has just won Lamar Hunt's trophy in the stadium that was Lamar Hunt's dream. Kansas City is the AFC champion. They are headed to Miami.
It's time to pull on the pads and hit somebody. On After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Mitch Holtis with the final calls on the Chiefs radio network, and pretty amazing to see the full cycle. What a difference a year can make, right, for the Kansas City Chiefs. I know it's been 50 years since they made the Super Bowl, but think about how close they were this time last year. And we still, I still talk about the D-Ford's offsides penalty. And now you want to talk about a bit of mini redemption. He has the opportunity to go to the Super Bowl, but with the Niners. So the Chiefs let him walk last year, and they had a lot of changes on their defense. They didn't have the money to spend on everybody, and they
I said I was lined up offside.
Was I? Might be one of my favorite moments. I mean, I felt for D Ford, just the way that it came out on NFL films and the audio after the fact. So D Ford jumps off sides on what would have been probably a game preserving Tom Brady interception and has to live with that for a year. And then he ends up with the Niners, and now they're going to a Super Bowl. So I'm glad, actually. I'm glad that it's these Chiefs, the Chiefs that are still remaining from a year ago, but also D Ford gets his chance as well. And think about their journey. They lose to the Patriots. They have to watch New England win a Super Bowl. They go through a roster rebuild. They lose their MVP to a dislocated kneecap as well as ankle injuries. They have this miracle comeback against the Texans. And now they're celebrating an AFC championship at Arrowhead. Wow. Talk about stuffing a whole lot into a year. Frank Clark with 4 sacks in this postseason so far. And he's also a new member of that Chiefs defense. And the defense really gelling and coming together in the second half of the year is a big reason why this team is the last one standing in the AFC. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We talk about these redemption stories. I will. This is going to be my theme for the next couple of weeks as we count down to Miami. But how about the Hunt family? Lamar, the patriarch, has the AFC Championship trophy named after him. He's no longer around. His widow has been to every Super Bowl, and his son, Clark, is now running the team.
We're going to celebrate tonight, and it's going to be tremendous, but it wouldn't be what it is without the hardship, without all the hard work that went into getting us here. Yeah, 50 years is too long, but we're going to Miami. We've got a chance to win another Super Bowl, and I hope to see as many of those Chiefs fans in Miami as possible.
Should be a sea of red. Some of you are filling in the blank with the color. I'm asking you, the Super Bowl matchup is what? You're filling in the blank with red, very red. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Our toll-free line sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy. Actually, I'm going to try to buy a house this spring. And so I can feel that having a home is hard work, but I love being a homeowner. And so I would like to try to buy a home again. I'm going to have to keep Geico in mind. I already have Geico for my car insurance. I know it's easy to focus on the Niners defense, and we should, because they've been fantastic, and that's been the baseline and the foundation for the team all year long. But don't overlook the Chiefs defense. What they were able to do against Derrick Henry, stuff that Titans run game that has been so consistent and so powerful. And how about this? I know they carried out a successful fake punt in the fourth quarter. But just four drives and only four first downs in the second half against the Chiefs. How about that? As overwhelming and stifling as the Niners offense against the Packers on Sunday, the Chiefs played the ball control game to perfection, and the defense was game. The defense was well rested. Only four first downs on four drives in the second half for the Titans. 855-212-4227. We will get to Tom Brady. He is taking free agent meetings, in case you're wondering. So we'll get to that after the update. But Brian's listening in Atlanta and wants to weigh in on Jason Garrett. Brian.
Hey, Amy, it's Bernie. How you doing?
Oh, I'm sorry. Bernie.
It's okay. I just want to weigh in on the prodigal son, Jason Garrett. All of us Cowboy fans, we pretty much knew he was going to stay in the NFC. That's what most of these players and coaches do when they leave. They always want to stay in the same division. We know Jason Garrett want to try to prove something to Jerry, because you know he really didn't want to leave. We already know he was pretty much fighting for his job at the end. We know Jerry Jones kept Garrett around on that contract because he knew the Giants was looking for an opening, the Redskins were looking for an opening. So hold him for his contract to the end would pretty much guarantee they would
The Redskins had already filled their job. The Redskins filled their job even before the Giants fired their head coach.
Okay, well, as far as the Giants, he did not want to see that happen. So let's hold him to the end of his contract, let them get their guy, and then we can let him go. So Garrett takes the OC job. We're happy. We Cowboy fans, we really don't care. We were pretty much done with Jason Garrett probably after 2012. After that third year, we went 8-8 and lost to every divisional rival at the end of the season to try to go to the playoffs. So good luck to him. And my advice to him, really, my real advice to him, you have an all-star running back in the backfield. Try to use him properly and try not to get out-coached this time. I'm out.
Oh, Brian, look at you with the mic drop. That's right. To the very end, bitter against Jason Garrett because all of the Cowboys' woes are definitely on his shoulders. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Will Tom Brady continue his career with the New England Patriots? He's already made it very clear he's not retiring. Bob Kraft has said publicly, I pray that Brady either re-signs with the Patriots or retires, which that's ridiculous. I guess if you want him to re-sign with the Patriots, you should pay him because he is going to take meetings elsewhere. We'll give you the latest coming up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Second down and four for New England. Brady under center on the retreat. Dropping back. He's pressured. He rolls right. He throws it down the right side for an open Bolden. Catches the five. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
I know it's out there, just like there's a lot of other things out there. I mean, we could bring up 50 questions just like that one. You can ask all 50 of them, and it's going to be the same answer 50 times. We've been working on Tennessee. It's 12 hours after the game. I'm not going to talk a lot of things about the future because I'm not prepared to talk about it.
Here, you make the call, not the refs. Light up Amy's phone lines now. 855-212-4CBS.
Weird, right? Not to see the Patriots in a game on Championship Sunday. It felt a little odd to me. I like fresh storylines. I like fresh blood. But still, there's this kind of a changing of the guard, if you will, in the AFC. And it really mattered that the Chiefs beat the Patriots in their regular season battle this year, because that's how the Chiefs ended up with the 2 seed, got to host the AFC championship again. And of course, they appreciate the Titans for taking out the Patriots. But there is a big question of what happens now for New England. I don't believe their window is closed. I believe that this is a team and an organization that is a reload, not a rebuild. But also, they have a lot of really good talent. Just this year, their offense was constantly regurgitating receivers and trying whatever they could, and they just couldn't come up with more than one or two receivers that Tom Brady could trust and really connected with. And that, of course, brings us to the major question, is what happens with their franchise QB? Bob Soucy is the play-by-play voice of the New England Patriots. And then after that, you'll hear Bill Belichick. And I would be irritated, too, if people are asking me this question hours after they've been bounced from the postseason. But that is obviously how the media works. That's how we work. Inquiring minds want to know. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So here's what we know from Jason Lockenforest, CBS NFL insider. The Patriots, of course, still have him under contract until March. But according to Jason and his sources, he would be stunned if Brady agreed to any new contract with the Patriots before he hits free agency. Maybe Bob Kraft makes him an enormous offer, one that he can't turn down. Maybe Bob Kraft is prepared to make him the highest paid quarterback in football, though I would be surprised by that. That's not generally how they operate. In fact, they've had other players, really good players, Pro Bowl players, Super Bowl champion players, who they allow to walk because they don't want to pay them market price. And Brady has never been the highest paid quarterback at his position, never been the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. He's always been willing to restructure and take a hometown discount for the purposes of paying other players and filling out other roster spots. But according to Jason, he would be stunned if Brady decided to take a contract with the Patriots as opposed to hitting free agency. According to Jason, Brady intends to take a methodical approach to his first foray into free agency, since at age 42, this will be the final contract of his playing career. And according to Jason's sources, he is prepared to talk to other teams in addition to the New England Patriots. He's been saying for years he wants to play until age 45. He's indicated both on his social media as well as in various interviews that he's done with Jim Gray that he does not see his career ending here. So as much as Bob Kraft would prefer that he retires, that's not happening. Jason Lockenforest's sources also tell him Brady wants to take on the role of mentor to a young quarterback. And in fact, he was talking about how proud he is of Jimmy Garoppolo. Of course, spent the first few years of his career playing behind Tom Brady and then also filling in for him when Brady was on that suspension to start the season. For the wake of, you know, the Deflategate, it was a delayed suspension, obviously. And so Garoppolo was out there as the starter until he got hurt. But he likes what he sees in Garoppolo now in San Francisco.
That's important, certainly, in the game. And, you know, every time you take the field, you got to be the one that everyone looks to for the poise, for the discipline, to try to play air-free football. And, you know, as a quarterback, you had the ability in the huddle to call the plays. So naturally, you have a voice that everyone's listening to. And if you can display to them that you're confident in what's being called and how you're going to go out and execute, it can give everyone a sense that you're in control. And I think that's what one of the great feelings about being a quarterback is knowing when you can look in the huddle and they're looking at you knowing that you're going to lead them.
So he likes the leadership and the poise that he sees with Garoppolo. And certainly those were qualities that Belichick identified. He just couldn't keep him. Brady wasn't ready to retire, and Garoppolo was going to walk in free agency, and they would have had nothing to show for him. So he ends up trading him to San Francisco in exchange for, I think it was a second round pick, if I remember correctly. So Brady is fine mentoring a young quarterback. no matter where he goes. According to Jason LaCanfora, he wants to leave the organization better than when he got there. And of course, he loves TB12, and why wouldn't he want the chance to maybe pass that on to others so that could be part of his legacy, especially after he leaves football. So we'll see. We'll see if the Patriots are committed to bringing in more young talent, to shoring up the wide receiver core, and whether or not they're prepared to pay Tom Brady. But he told Jim Gray on Westwood One, the weekly interviews that he does, that right now it's a blank canvas for his future.
So it's been a couple weeks, and you know, I've had a lot of time with my family the last couple weeks and just decompressing from the season and spending time with them. So I've said earlier, I'm open-minded about the process, and you know, at the same time, I'm, you know, I love playing football and I want to continue to play and do a great job. So I'm looking forward to what's ahead. Whatever the future may bring, I'll embrace it with open arms.
But again, according to Jason LaCanfora, even as Tom Brady is leaving it wide open, LaCanfora is saying that he is prepared to take meetings with other teams and that he would be really surprised if Brady re-signed or re-upped with the Patriots before he officially hits free agency. This is his chance. It's his chance to see what else is out there. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I would agree with that. I would be stunned if he didn't try free agency, but I would be just as surprised if he played anywhere else. Why not? You have leverage. Why not use it? It's your last contract of your NFL career, more than likely, unless he would do something like Drew Brees has done, which is sign one-year deal, maybe a two-year deal. Just as long as he wants to keep playing, they give him more deals. But more than likely, this is it, whether it's with the Patriots or whether it's somewhere else. But he's got leverage. He deserves to be paid. And he deserves to use that leverage to finagle the Patriots, to put pressure on the Patriots into getting more weapons for his wide receiver core. Consistent weapons. And I know that the rookie receiver, N'Keal Harry, came along late in the year. He was injured. That's not on Bill Belichick. Mohamed Sanu, they traded for him with a second round pick. He was also kind of in and out of the lineup there. That didn't work. Antonio Brown, I mean, I think you could have seen the writing on the wall, but they tried that as well. Josh Gordon, same thing, took a risk there. It didn't work out. Julian Edelman really being the only guy that Tom Brady could consistently trust and rely on. And Edelman was also injured, and we find out he's playing with injuries through the end of the season. No doubt he takes nasty hits all the time. But one thing they didn't do really is address the tight end position. After Rob Gronkowski retired, they didn't bring someone in. They didn't go out and get someone young. Ben Watson filled in here and there and played well, and I applaud him. But it's a completely different look at that position than Rob Gronkowski. I know there's only one Gronk, but there are other tight ends out there. It's a resurgent year for the tight end position.
I love puppies.
How much you want to bet he's going to be holding court in Miami? Not just the big Super Bowl party he's doing, but he's going to be all over the place. 855-212-4227 on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, we'll put up your Monday MVP poll for you to vote in. That's coming very soon in the wake of Championship Sunday. Let's talk to Justin, who's in Kentucky. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
So with the whole Tom Brady thing, I was thinking that if he does leave the Patriots, he's going to want to go to a championship contender. And, like, the only two teams that I could possibly see him going to would be either the Las Vegas Chargers or maybe Dallas. Maybe Dallas doesn't give Dak Prescott all that money. They use that money, get Tom Brady for a couple years. And he's definitely going to have all the weapons he needs, a wide receiver. And
wait,
just
hold on. You really just
a place like Dallas.
I have to ask. At this point in his career, at 42 years old, Dak Prescott coming off the best season of his career, you think Brady's a better option than Prescott?
I just don't think that Prescott is worth that type of money. He's a great quarterback. but he's not like an elite quarterback, I don't believe.
So
he's a great quarterback.
At 42 years old, is Brady worth that kind of money? Because if you change quarterbacks, you're still going to have to end up paying, you know, roughly the going rate, which is $30 million a year.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I just thought maybe we could get Brady or the Dallas Cowboys could get Brady at a discount if he wanted to come in and actually win, like have a good chance to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, see, I kind of feel like if Brady is willing to take a discount, he's just going to stay in New England because they still have the best team in the AFC, the AFC East. They still won their division for an 11th straight time. If he was willing to take a discount, I don't know why he would do it for another franchise, but wouldn't he just stay in New England then?
I see your point. But what about the Chargers, though?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he wanted to go somewhere warm, although he's kind of made a living now on playing in the cold weather. But that wouldn't surprise me, except that I don't know that the Chargers want to do that, to go from one aging quarterback to another. I feel like you'd be upgrading a little bit just because of Tom Brady's championship pedigree, but aren't you kind of exchanging the same thing? Neither one is a mobile quarterback. Both of them are kind of later in their careers. Brady definitely was off target a bunch this year. I mean, there were times when he was overthrowing or missing guys. I mean, it wasn't as bad as Phillip Rivers, but it certainly, I don't know that you could look at the two seasons that they had and think that Brady would be this massive upgrade over what you got from Phillip Rivers.
So what would you think would be the team that he was more likely to go to then?
Well, I still say that his best fit is New England. I still say that fit, that offense, the familiarity he has there, the leverage that he's got right now, that's the best fit. I think it's interesting to think about the Tennessee Titans, though. Again, I don't know, though, that if you're taking Brady, I mean, there's a lot of former Patriots, including Mike Vrabel, who are in that franchise, and maybe they bring him in, they draft a young quarterback, and they have him mentor. So I've kind of thought about that. But honestly, I don't know how many teams out there would think that Brady was a better option over what they've got now, unless, of course, they're looking for a stopgap and they've got everything else in place. But if you change quarterbacks, it's the devil you know, the devil you don't know. So we'll see. And I think it's an interesting conversation. Justin, thanks so much for your phone call from Kentucky. 855-212-4227. That certainly is another question that we will definitely talk about. Just saw this tweet, A-Law Radio, filling in the blank. The Super Bowl matchup is what? He says, refreshing. I agree. I like it. 1 hour to go. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.